A businessman sits in his car outside the supermarket, heart racing, palms sweating. He knows he should go inside, his family needs groceries, but the familiar dread is building. He starts the engine and drives home, feeling immediate relief wash over him. Problem solved, right? Not quite. What he doesn't realize is that this moment of relief just made his anxiety significantly worse. This is the worry trick in action. The very solutions we reach for when anxious are precisely what trap us in cycles of fear. Anxiety disorders affect roughly 45 million Americans, yet most people misunderstand what keeps these conditions alive. It's not the initial fear that's the problem, it's our response to it. We've been taught to fight anxiety, control it, eliminate it. But what if everything we've learned about managing fear is backwards? What if our desperate attempts to feel better are actually the engine driving our suffering? Here's the foundational mistake that fuels every anxiety disorder. We treat uncomfortable feelings as if they signal genuine danger. Your heart races during a presentation and your mind screams heart attack. You feel dizzy in a crowded mall and you're convinced you'll faint and humiliate yourself. A worrying thought pops up about your child's safety, and suddenly you're catastrophizing about every possible disaster. This confusion triggers what seems like a reasonable response. Protect yourself. Leave the store. Cancel the presentation. Check on your child for the 15th time today. And here's where things get cruel. These protective actions work beautifully in the short term. You feel immediate relief. Your anxiety drops. But you've just taught your brain a devastating lesson. That situation truly was dangerous, and only your quick escape saved you. Consider someone with panic disorder who feels their heart racing in a grocery store and rushes out. The relief they feel reinforces a false narrative that the store posed a genuine threat and leaving was necessary for survival. Each repetition strengthens this belief. Soon, just thinking about grocery stores triggers anxiety. The feared territory expands while their world contracts. This isn't weakness or irrationality. It's your brain doing exactly what evolution designed it to do. Our ancestors, who mistook a rustling bush for a predator and ran unnecessarily, lived to reproduce. Those who assumed the rustling was harmless occasionally became lunch. We're descended from the cautious ones, which means our brains naturally prioritize false alarms over missed threats. Some people simply inherited more sensitive alarm systems, causing them to experience more frequent false alerts in situations that pose no real danger. When anxiety strikes, every instinct points you in the wrong direction. This rule of opposites explains why anxiety persists. We do what feels right, but makes things worse. On a high bridge feeling vertigo, your instinct screams, "Grip tight, move slowly." Yet these responses intensify fear by signaling mortal danger to your brain. The counterintuitive solution, relaxing your grip, standing naturally, maybe taking a small hop, often brings immediate relief by communicating no real threat exists. This pattern repeats endlessly. Short of breath during panic, deep breathing worsens symptoms. Worried about an event, obsessive rehearsal increases anxiety. The reason? Anxiety is about discomfort, not danger. Responding to discomfort as if facing danger activates inappropriate fight or flight mechanisms. Real danger requires action, running from a bear, slamming on brakes. Discomfort simply requires acceptance while it naturally subsides. Like a child learning to swim, whose instinct underwater is to thrash and panic, yet comfort requires the opposite. Relaxing, exhaling slowly, trusting the process. During an important meeting, Owen felt familiar panic symptoms, racing heart, tight chest, breathlessness. He tilted his head back, forcing air into his lungs, but each breath made him feel worse. The solution? Apply the rule of opposites. When feeling short of breath, focus on exhaling first. This breaks the panic cycle by returning to natural belly breathing, the way you breathed effortlessly as an infant. Here's the practice. Push your belly out while inhaling through your nose, engaging your diaphragm. Pull your belly in while exhaling through your mouth. Pause briefly between breaths. This isn't learning something new. It's reclaiming your body's natural pattern. People with chronic anxiety often develop chest breathing habits, taking shallow breaths that never feel complete. Since belly breathing brings in more oxygen per breath, breathe more slowly to avoid lightheadedness. One common fear, fainting during panic attacks, is extraordinarily rare because panic raises blood pressure while fainting requires it to drop. When Owen experienced another panic attack, belly breathing helped him stay present, not by eliminating fear, but by moderating symptoms enough to practice staying rather than fleeing. The core principle? We're not eliminating anxiety, but changing our relationship with it. When fear strikes, every instinct screams escape. This works for genuine threats. If there's a bear in your yard, staying inside makes sense. But with anxiety disorders, this protective instinct becomes a trap. Each avoidance reinforces the belief that the situation was genuinely dangerous and that you couldn't have handled it. Notice the pattern? Someone who stops driving on highways soon fears all driving. Someone who declines social invitations eventually feels uncomfortable anywhere social. Your territory contracts while fear expands. The solution, practice engaging with what you fear, works because of how your brain's fear center operates. The amygdala, a primitive brain region, triggers fight or flight responses outside conscious awareness. You can't logic yourself out of fear, but you can retrain your amygdala through exposure. The amygdala creates new memories only when activated, so effective retraining requires entering the feared situation, feeling afraid, staying long enough to notice nothing bad happens, and repeating until new associations form. The aware framework provides structure. Accept your anxiety rather than fighting it, watch your symptoms as an observer, act in ways that increase comfort while waiting for anxiety to pass naturally. Repeat if anxiety surges again. Expect anxiety to end on its own. What if thoughts function like fishing lures, shiny bait designed to hook us into mental struggles that strengthen worry rather than resolve concerns? These thoughts trick us into treating unlikely future scenarios as current problems. What if I fail this test? What if my child gets hurt? The key insight, worry isn't about future problems. It's a symptom of present nervousness. The what if clause reveals we don't have a problem right now. If we did, we'd be dealing with it rather than worrying about it. For realistic seeming worries, apply the two-part test. Does this problem exist outside my mind right now? If yes, can I do something about it now? If both answers are yes, take action. Otherwise, recognize you have the problem of worrying, not a problem to worry about. Responding with humor diffuses worry entirely. Use paradoxical repetition. Create a concentrated worry sentence of about 20 words, then repeat it 25 times slowly while looking in a mirror. This repetition typically drains the worry of emotional power. Other humorous approaches include the yes and technique, agreeing with your worry and exaggerating to absurdity. What if my boss gives me a poor evaluation? Becomes yes, and he'll probably steal my wife too once I've been fired. Suppressing anxious thoughts backfires. The infamous white bear problem, where trying not to think about polar bears fills your mind with them. The solution? Simply observe and document anxious thoughts. Panic journals and worry journals document triggers, fears, breathing patterns, safety behaviors, how episodes ended, and thoughts about future episodes. You can respond to anxiety as a victim who feels threatened or as an observer who notes symptoms without judgment, what some call floating with the experience. These positions are inversely related. The more you occupy the victim role, the less you can observe clearly. Conversely, the more you observe, the less victimized you feel. For phobias, create comprehensive lists of expected symptoms, physical sensations, fearful thoughts, negative emotions, and frightened behaviors. During exposure, simply count each occurrence. This counting transforms your relationship with fear from combatant to witness, fundamentally changing how you relate to fearful experiences. Anxiety recovery requires radical courage, feeling afraid without running away. The worry trick has convinced millions that anxiety is dangerous, that discomfort requires immediate escape, that protection beats practice. These beliefs keep us trapped. Recovery isn't about eliminating fear. It's about losing your fear of fear itself, recognizing that uncomfortable sensations, while unpleasant, aren't dangerous. The path forward means doing what feels wrong, breathing out when breathless, staying when you want to flee, observing instead of fighting. Support people and safety objects, however comforting, ultimately reinforce the beliefs maintaining your anxiety. Bringing secrets into the light and accepting that confidence follows action rather than preceding it are essential steps. Your anxiety wants you to wait until you feel ready, confident, fearless. That day never comes through waiting. It comes through practice. The question isn't whether you'll feel afraid. You will. The question is whether you'll let that fear dictate your world's size. This might be your only life. Don't let the worry trick steal it.